Let's move then next, before our time certain, to items 1176, 1177, and 1178, please.
1176, authorize application to the Rockefeller Foundation for a grant in the amount of $1 million to develop and implement a citywide resilience plan, become a member of the 100 Resilient Cities Network, and create a chief resilience officer within city government. You want them all ready?
Yes, please.
1177, authorize application to the Oregon Department of Transportation for grants in the amount of up to $7 million for 4 non-highway transportation infrastructure projects, Flanders City Greenwide, Red Electric Trail, Streetcar Vehicle Purchase, NATO Crossing. And 1178, authorize application to the Oregon Department of Transportation for grants of up to $5.5 million for 2 non-highway transportation enhancement projects, Southeast 70s Neighborhood Greenway and I-205 Gateway Greenway Connector, HOP Neighborhood Greenway.
Okay, these are all grant applications, but they involve different bureaus, but both of them under Commissioner Novick's management. So we'll start with the first one, please.
So, colleagues, I had to get up way too early this morning to go to a JPAC meeting, so I won't try to be coherent for too long. So all I'm going to say is that, as Commissioner Fish says, it's always good to be able to use the word resilience, and I also think it's always good to take my money for the Rockefellers. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jana Papathimiou.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Thank you very much. I'm Jana Papathimiou from the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. I'm here to speak just very briefly about the 100 Resilient Cities grant application. This is the third time we've talked about it, and it'll be the last time, I promise, because they're closing, they're choosing their last 100 cities this year. But it is the city's opportunity to join that network of 100 cities across the world that are focused on resilience. And if we were awarded the grant, we would receive funds for a chief resilience officer plus resources to support their work. The receipt of this grant would support our bureau and I hope the citywide strategic focus on resilience. And in keeping with that strategy, the application describes a resilience work that would focus on engaging residents and local civic groups to really do the work of resilience on the ground and building on existing citywide plans like the Portland Plan and the Climate Adaptation Strategy, and also building on people's energy and concern around earthquakes, which definitely has been strong in this last year. Our hope is to channel these efforts to build resilience to those hazards across the city, and particularly to use an equity lens in doing that work and to focus on communities that we know are most vulnerable. So, of course, we're eager to have more resources to do this work. There is no specific matching requirement for this grant, but they do ask that we consider continuing the position and the work when the grant expires in 3 years. I think, of course, we want to continue our resilience work, and we can come forward and ask for funds to continue position if it demonstrates value.
Okay, great. Questions for John?
I have a question.
Yes.
I think we discussed this before, Steve, but I just want to, I probably don't remember how we left it. So currently, I think of Carmen Merlo as the closest thing we have to a chief resiliency officer.
Mm-hmm.
And when these issues come up in my bureaus, we reach out to her, and she has a great working relationship with the directors of both utilities. Would you remind us, how will this position work with the director of the Office of Emergency Management?
Oh, this person will report directly to Carmen Merlo. So they'll be housed at the Bureau of Emergency Management, and their position will be within that bureau. Of course, as our bureau exists to be a connector between all bureaus in continuity of operations planning, emergency preparedness planning. So we would seek to be a connector among all bureaus for resilience.
And is it, Steve, is it your intent to do the equivalent of an annual checkup with each of the bureaus the way we do with equity and other areas of citywide concern, just to see how we're doing against citywide goals and resilience?
I hadn't thought of it that way, but now that you've said it, that's definitely my intent.
Well, I would urge that. That gives mm-hmm. us a chance to set some citywide goals each year. And then if we're going to have this person who is sort of the resilience czar, I think it would be worthwhile to sit down with each of the bureaus and check our progress. And then that will also, I think, help us at budget time when we're identifying projects. We're going to be heavy this year in my bureaus on projects that have a resilience component mm-hmm. that's But to the extent it fits into a larger plan and we're sort of being evaluated to citywide goals, we would welcome that.
It might be a resilience czarina.
For me?
It might be a resilience czarina.
Yes, czarina.
Thank you.
Does the grant fund this position?
It does. It does fund this position for 3 years. And I'll just say, they don't say quite how much money it is, but our anticipation is that it would be a senior program manager position within our bureau. And if the funding is in excess of what that position pays, then we would reprogram that money just to do the work.
So what would be the annual salary roughly for that
position? I hesitate because I know it changes a little. In the 80s, I think, is what a senior program manager pays. And it's very anecdotal what CROs get paid in other cities, but I think it's generally a bit more than that.
And so part of the grant is that we maintain that position for at least 3 years?
Right, and we get money to keep it for 3 years.
Okay, other questions for Jonna? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does anyone want to speak on this item?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Don Bach.
Come on up, Don. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm actually here to speak about the Red Electric projects, but since I'm here, I'll speak about it. I don't think it's that far out of order. I passed to you a copy of the brochure Southwest Trails put together on the Red Electric, which if you look at the map inside, the part that we're talking about is out by Alpen Rose, this segment in this area right here. The map is inside the brochure. And basically, this is a really, really important next step in the Red Electric Trail. We enthusiastically support it. I want to make a footnote also and congratulate Commissioner Novick on his efforts with ODOT to get the bridges on Barber down to 3 lanes so we can have a safe bike and ped connections, because this enables, if you look at this thing at the other end, it looks a little complicated, but enables us to get through the east end of Himes Park onto the bridges and cross and then use Slavin Road. So that basically takes away the blockage we've had on that east end for moving forward. So we're looking really forward to that. That's really important. This has been something we've worked on since 1998. The first money was appropriated for the Red Electric in 99. The study was done in 2007. We have a bridge that's under design in Hillsdale that will be a very important connection, and this will be the next step in this. We enthusiastically support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I have a few concerns on this application with the Rockefeller Foundation. My number one concern is that you've been denied, my understanding, 2 different times, possibly 3. Now, with that in mind, you have on this that you want to go with the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management, and also with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to apply for this grant. Now, if you have done that in the past and you've been denied, I don't think that's a good direction to go. Now, one of the biggest concerns I have on this is, Mayor Hales, you have declared the city of Portland a state of emergency in housing. As you know, the Rockefeller Foundation grant is obviously very concerned about affordable housing and homelessness. I would suggest that you also put in the Portland Housing Bureau on this grant due to the fact that you have declared a state of emergency pertaining to housing for the city of Portland. I would like the Rockefeller Foundation to look at this very close and understand we are in a state of emergency in housing. They also have the ability not only to grant the $1 million loan, or grant, I'm sorry, in the amount of $1 million. They also have the ability to grant a higher amount if they feel it is necessary. My opinion, the Rockefeller Foundation will look at this very close, understand that Portland, the city of Portland, has been named state of emergency in housing, and I hope that they will provide this grant due to the fact, Mayor, you have designated this city in the state of emergency in housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, anyone else want to speak on this item? So to that point, Commissioner Novick, we do mention housing actually in the findings. Would it improve or dilute our prospects, I guess, is the question. I don't think we have to we don't have to do anything to the ordinance to change the verbiage in the application, but I guess I'd like to at least hear if you want to take that suggestion under advisement.
Let's ask Jana.
Actually, I appreciate Lightning bringing this up. I'm trying to be concise this morning, but the Rockefeller Foundation looks not just at shocks, which sort of those sudden events like floods and earthquakes that we often think about, particularly with emergency management, but also at chronic stresses, which diminish our resilience over time and also make people very vulnerable to even small floods, for instance. And so the application actually does talk a great deal about the affordable housing crisis and that being the greatest stress that threatens our city resilience. My hope is that if we fill this position, they will be able to channel some of the energy to do something about earthquake preparedness to connect those folks with people working on affordable housing, because I do see them as related.
Good. How many times have we applied for this?
Twice.
Okay, well.
I just want to put a, I want to put in a plug for sticking to it. I seem to recall that twice the voters of the city of Portland said not yet when I ran. So it was actually the third time that I got this unique opportunity. So, and I take it you are going to add, include in our application a copy of the New Yorker essay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good. Well, obviously, based on Lightning's point and your explanation there, if you need to call on other bureaus to help support the application, you probably have already done so, but don't hesitate and come to each of us for any support, because we would like to win the grant this time and do the work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. So unless there's any further testimony on that item, we'll take a vote on that one and then move on to the other two that are transportation applications.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jana. Crossing fingers. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I very much appreciate Jana and Carmen Merlo for working on this after I raised concerns last year. I think this application is way better than last year's. It's stronger, more robust. It has the appropriate level of funding for the manager, which therefore will leave more funding for actually doing stuff. So I'm very pleased with it. And I particularly appreciate when I met with Jana in my office, she called out the fact that immigrant and refugee communities, while certainly a communities of a special concern, are those who have already endured pretty horrific conditions in their home countries, in refugee camps, et cetera, so that we can learn from them as well as providing services. So I appreciate that insight. Aye.
Fish?
Steve, we're wishing you luck on this one. And First thing that I encountered when I was elected in 2008 was a winter storm that was coming our way and a very disjointed system for dealing with homeless individuals and families that were on the streets. And it was your bureau and Carmen Merlo in particular who called together all of the players and hammered out a written plan and educated us about things like incident commander and PIO and all the various components of a plan. So I've learned firsthand the benefit of communication and coordination around this work, and I think this is vital, and thank you for bringing this forward. Aye.
And Commissioner, I saw you on TV during that event. You did a great job.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Well, Commissioner Novick, thank you for just keeping the focus on preparedness and resilience, because it's critical. There's years of work to do. This is a piece of it, but I just appreciate your consistent advocacy for this part of our work, and this is one more opportunity. So, again, anything the rest of us can do to make the third time the charm and actually get the funding, call on us. Thank you. Aye. Okay. Let's take the next item, please. And you've already read it. So, Steve, staff, do you want to bring up on these two?
Think so. Who wants to talk about these four great things?
Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Glear, Portland Bureau of Transportation, here with Brett Warner from Parks. We're here to talk about the start of what's going to be a six-month, year-long transportation grant process. I'm here today to talk about Connect Oregon, enhanced grants, and we'll be here in a few more months to talk about the bigger funding allocation that comes out of the regional flexible funds. But today we wanted to give you an upshot of the work that we've done to put together the current grant requests for your review. We were driven by three principles. The first one was we wanted to make sure that we got the priorities right for the projects we picked. So we really, I think, did a better job than we've done in the past of looking at the trail priority projects and the transportation priority projects. Recently, scored in our transportation system plan to help us with that. The second thing that's becoming a huge problem for us is we really looked hard at where the match was going to come from. With limited resources, our ability to make sure that we have, in this case, five of our six projects have system development charge either from parks or from transportation. The other project has capital operating funds from the streetcar that they'd be using for that project. So we've done, I think, a good job, better maybe than sometimes in the past, of making sure that we have a lot of good coverage for match. And then the last thing is we want to win. We've worked really hard to develop projects and really go back to the different scoring people at ODOT and talk about what projects are going to be most competitive and move projects around a little bit to make that work. So that's the kind of the boring background piece. The exciting part is the projects. The first project that we're proposing to ask for out of ODOT Enhance, and this is $30 million statewide, that right now is just available for ped and bike improvements in the right-of-way or not in the right-of-way. The first project is a project that we're calling Gateway I-205 Path to Gateway Green. This is the extension of the Sullivan's Gulch Trail. It was a really good project last time we asked for it, but we've made it better. We figured out some ways to make the crossing under 205 safer so that people won't be out of sight and in places that could have public safety problems. In addition to that, we've connected to this project an element of a neighborhood greenway, which was the highest first or second highest priority neighborhood greenway in East Portland. It's called the Holiday Oregon Pacific that would extend out to the east from this project, as well as a third phase, if there's funding available for it in this grant, that would connect the Gateway Green, the I-205 Path Project, into the Tillamook Neighborhood Greenway, so it actually connect to the whole system. The second project that we're looking at within ODOT Enhance is the 70s Neighborhood Greenway. Again, this is a really important project for our city and our network. It's a neighborhood greenway that would parallel 82nd, connect some of our most diverse schools like Vestal. As someone who worked in those programs in the past, there aren't really good connections like this to connect schools and parks. And this project, we think, is very competitive in ODOT Enhance, like the I-205 project, because it provides a direct benefit to a state highway, to 82nd, to the degree that we can minimize some of those crashes that are occurring on 82nd with this proposal. We think it makes it a very strong candidate. So now moving over to the Connect Oregon grants. So Connect Oregon is a lottery-funded program, issue bonds to pay for projects. Initially, it was just focused on projects that were outside of the right-of-way. I'm still pretty much focused on that. But in the last few years, they added some ped and bike as an element, as an addition to rail and some of those other off-system improvements. So the first, so we have three projects, or four projects. Two of them are kind of combined. The first one is the Flanders City Greenway, and this would also include, it's a $2.5 million grant request, which would be matched with SDC funding, and $500,000 to improve a safer crossing of NATO. One thing that's, I think, really exciting about this project is with Connect Oregon, you have to estimate how many people would be using the facility. And right now, our modeling numbers say if we build that connection, we'll be about 8,000 people per day annually using it today. And in 2035, as growth occurs and as the mode split changes, there'll be over 13,000 people using that facility. This is also
Which one was that for?
This is for the Flanders, okay. The bridge. The other thing, I'm hoping to get a gold star or something from the Resiliency's Arena on this one, is that because of how much use it's going to get, it needs to probably be 24 feet wide. And when we looked at it, this was a recommendation that came up just in one of our public discussions. Someone said, well, why can't it be a lifeline route? After an earthquake. And then so our engineers are looking at that, and we think that could work. And we think that, again, that makes it a much more competitive project as well, and hopefully blessed by the Resiliency is Arena for sure. The next project on the list is streetcar purchase. So Seattle is doing some changes to how they're operating their streetcar in conflicts with overhead electrical lines, I think. And it's made it so three of the streetcars that they purchased, they now want to sell. So we have the opportunity to buy those streetcars at the price of basically a third of the normal price, and it has some major benefits to our streetcar system in the sense that it's just, you know, you can run the system more efficiently if a car's down or if there's other things happening. So that's, we think, it doesn't really compete against these other projects in the sense that Connect Oregon has its own competitive categories, and so we think it's a good, strong project and really could benefit and reduce some of our ongoing operating costs for the streetcar. And then the third project, which Don Bach mentioned earlier, is the Red Electric. So again, Connect Oregon is one of the only funding sources we have to pay for trail improvements that are outside the right-of-way. Gas tax is constitutionally restricted to improvements in the right-of-way. So these kinds of projects jump to the top. As Don mentioned, this connection would connect Southwest Portland all the way from the Willamette River to the Fano Creek Trail. Metro estimates when the project's complete that there'll be 3,000 to 4,000 people a day using the facility. So again, I think this has really been a nice community process. Parks has been really supportive. And if you look at, I mean, just being here a week ago and talking about the comp plan and transportation system plan and how we're going to make all this stuff work, I think it is through these kinds of projects that have a lot of users and a lot of benefits that we see the path forward.
Great, and good morning. I'm Brett Horner with, I'm the Parks and Trails Planning Manager at Parks. And I would just really like to reiterate that it was a very collaborative process this year, probably the most collaborative one that I've been in since I've worked here in the 8 years that I've worked here. So we worked very closely with PBOT over the last probably 6 months almost, I believe, to align our priorities. These are very compelling projects. I think they're going to score really highly, and hopefully we'll be receiving the funds. We feel like these projects are very responsive to not only neighborhood and advocacy groups, but also your previous direction. You may recall the council directed us to really put Sullivan's Gulch forward as our next round of in the next round of applications, and we are doing so here. It's in a very important connection to Gateway Green and connecting east and west sides of the I-205 freeway. And we just wanted to thank you for your support on these grants and funding for the match. It was a very, very good process this year.
Questions for Brett?
Well, what's the total capital cost for the Flanders Bridge?
The amount that we're asking in the grant request is for...
Yeah, you're asking for $2.5 million, but what's
the
total?
That's there's
yeah,
match
I think,
funds.
I think I was looking to see if there was a note on this, but we're still in the final designs and working that through. The range of cost, I think, right now, the last numbers that I saw were between $5 and $7 million, in the options they're looking at. So this would provide about half, and the other half of the funding likely would come out of the system development charge revenue. I can provide a packet that has more detail if you're interested.
That's fine.
Okay.
Other questions for either of these guys? Thank you both very much. We'll see if there's any testimony, further testimony on either of these grant applications. Anyone want to speak on these items? Then let's take a vote, please, on 1177.
Novick?
Thank you. Aye.
Fritz?
So I very much appreciate the collaboration between Parks and Transportation. Like Commissioner Saltzman, I'm concerned about the high cost of the Flanders Street Greenway. I recognize that's a decision that's been made by the commissioner in charge of transportation. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hale?
These are really exciting projects. So, again, anything the rest of us can do to help support the commissioner in transportation and as he contends at JPAC for our list, let us know. By a strange coincidence, I was the manufacturer's representative for the sale of those three streetcars to Seattle. So, what goes around comes around. I can vouch that they were properly constructed and delivered in good condition. So hopefully Seattle is delivering them in good condition to us. We'll ask Mayor Murray to vouch for them, because I think if we're going to buy a used streetcar from this man, he should stand up and say they're okay for us. But the opportunity to buy three more vehicles at that kind of a price is really compelling, so I'm really happy to hear that. Aye. Okay, 1178.
I should note that at this time we have no plans to purchase Seattle's tunnel boring machine.
Fritz.
Very pleased to see Gateway Green, again, having this great partnership. Aye.
Fish?
Steve, I'm embarrassed to say that we actually surplus that after the big pipe. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Great work. Great projects. Thank you very much. Okay.